Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
They threw that together this week. Do you believe it? Oh, you guys are amazing. Praise the Lord. We're going out on a limb today. We're going to be teaching from Luke chapter 19. You may want to turn there in your Bibles. Legend has it that there was a man that was lost in the desert and he was just dying for a drink of water. He was wandering around and wandering around for hours and hours. And finally, he comes across an old deserted homestead and this ramshackle mess on the property there. And the windows were all broken out. There was no door on the hinges. The roof on the building was all collapsed. It had just been left to shambles. And he looked around. He found a little place where he could kind of get a piece of shade there in the noonday sun. As he's standing in the shade, he looks over to the side of him. He sees this old rusty pump. And he looks at that and thinks, oh, man, wonder if that thing works. So he goes over to it and starts to pump it, and no, that thing doesn't work. So he goes back over the shade and stands there a while. And as he stands looking around, he sees on the ground near the pump just an old bottle with a cork in it. So he goes over the bottle and picks it up and dusts it off. It's all dirty and dusty, and he sees written on the outside of this bottle, it says, the pump won't work unless you prime it first. There's water in the bottle, and it's going to take all the water in the bottle to prime the pump, and then it'll work. Pop the cork off the bottle, and sure enough, it was just about full of water. Now he's faced with a decision. If I drink the water in the bottle, I can have enough to save my life and maybe get back to civilization, but if I pour it all into the pump, I could have cool, pure, fresh water, more than enough, coming out of the pump. But will the pump work? Finally, after debating and debating this, he decides to go ahead and pour it into the pump. Pours in the pump, pulls the handle, squeak, 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 nothing. Squeak, 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 a little tiny trickle, a couple drops come out. Squeaks more, all of a sudden a stream, and then just starts just flowing out of the pump, and he has more water and knows what to do with. He fills the jug up after he's done drinking and corks the jug and writes down on the bottom of the note, it really does work, believe me. You know, he was willing to go out on a limb and put all of the water into the pump. And today I want to look at a fellow who was not afraid to go out on a limb, so to speak. He gave it all he had. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to give it all we have in order to get back all we need and ever want. Let's look at a story about a man named Zacchaeus and see what happened to him when he was willing to literally go out on a limb for Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts to your word today. Lord, inspire us to be like Zacchaeus and to know you more fully and completely as, Lord, we step out in our Christian walk greater and greater. And, Lord, trust you in new and exciting ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. You see, Zacchaeus was a man with a problem. He wants to see Jesus, but he can't see over the heads of everybody in the crowd. And so he's got this dilemma for himself. How do I see Jesus when I'm so short and everybody else is so tall and they've already crowded around the streets? It says Jesus passed through Jericho. I thought that was interesting. Because it wasn't even his destination. He's just passing through, isn't he? Kind of like you and I. We're just passing through. We're a pilgrim, just like Jesus. Jesus wasn't passing through. What was his destination? The cross. And he knew that. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, it says, and he was rich. You see, Zacchaeus had position, he had power, but he knew that there was more that he wanted in life. There was more that he needed. Money did not satisfy the emptiness of his soul. It says he was of short stature. Zacchaeus had a problem. He was short. Somehow, he always came up short. Always. Too many obstacles in his mind. And in my mind, if I were to put a picture to Zacchaeus, he'd look like Danny DeVito, you know. You can see this guy, short, cunning, crafty. You can't trust him with anything. No way. Because that's the character Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus was with the IRS. The IRS. Yep, it stands for I'm Rich and Short. IRS. But this guy wasn't just a tax collector. He wasn't just one of the workers. He was the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector, hated by everyone. But he wanted to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But do you want to see Jesus? It will cost you something. It costs Zacchaeus to see Jesus. If you really want to see Jesus, it costs something because it requires something of us to see Jesus in a greater way. It costs Zacchaeus, but he was willing to pay the price. Are we willing to pay that price? Let's look. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I love this. It says Zacchaeus ran. He ran to find that tree and jump up into it and climb up into the branches. It reminds me of David when he challenged Goliath. You know, here he is. He picks up his five stones. He's got his little slingshot. He's in his shepherd outfit. And he's going up against this giant of a warrior who's got armor all over himself and these weapons that are huge. And what does David do? He doesn't walk. He doesn't slowly move forward. He runs down the hill to Goliath. He can't wait to get to him. And that's the faith we see of Zacchaeus. He's running to see Jesus. And our key point here, faith runs towards any obstacles which get in the way of God's intended miracles. Faith will run toward the obstacles and run through them if it has to, and if they get in the way of God's intended miracles in our lives. And he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Why? Just to see Jesus. That's why. He wants to see Jesus. So he climbs up in the tree. Now, climbing up in the tree took effort, didn't it? Was it comfortable? Probably not. So it was uncomfortable to see Jesus. It took effort. It was humbling to see Jesus. We're talking about the rich guy. This is like Donald Trump climbing up in a tree so he can see Jesus coming by. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? He's the rich man in town. He's the chief tax collector. He's got power. He's got position. He's got money. He just doesn't have any height. So he has to climb up into this tree. It kind of puts you in a pretty humbling position. He must have looked pretty silly up in that tree, watching, waiting for Jesus. This was a man who was desperate. He was desperate. Most of us have gotten, from time to time, one of those junk mail envelopes from the publisher's clearinghouse. And they do it in such a way that they word those letters to you to make you think that you're one of the select few that have received this letter. And you could win millions of dollars. You're just right there. You've already made it to the final of the finalist. It's almost time to pick the lucky winner, and it could be you. And there's just a handful of people that have gotten this letter, and you, and they personalize it. And of course, we know it's just computer generated, where they just take your first name and keep plugging it into the spots on this letter. Well, funny thing happened a few years ago. The computer generated one of these letters from the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes there to Bushnell Assembly of God Church near Tampa, Florida. And the church got a letter that said this, I quote, "Dear God of Bushnell Assembly, God, we've been looking for you. You're a finalist to receive $11 million in sweepstakes. So don't just sit there, God. Return your sweepstakes form today." The Tampa Tribune interviewed the pastor, and he said, "I'm not even going to return it because God doesn't need their $11 million. But when I read this phrase, "God, we've been looking for you. God, we've been looking for you," kind of strikes a truth in my heart. That's what we see in Zacchaeus. He'd been looking for Jesus. And you know, there's a lot of people today that are desperately seeking God. They don't know how to find him. They're looking for trees to climb up to see him. How do they find him? They know they need him. They have this desire in their life. They're looking for something more. They call it happiness. They call it purpose. They don't know who it is. It's Jesus Christ. So they look for it in money. They look for it in human relationships or a career. And they come up empty. They find out that their jug is empty. There's nothing there. And then sometimes when those things don't satisfy, they go out on a limb as well. And they can get involved in extreme living to where they're looking for God and fulfillment in drugs or sex or alcohol or anything that gives them a brief high. You see, are we like Zacharias? Are we desperately seeking for God? He was desperately looking for something, but he didn't really know what it was. He just knew he was empty inside. Jesus is here today, and he can be the end of our search. If you're here today and you're looking for something in your life, you say, "I don't know what it is." You may not have a relationship with Christ. I want you to know that today you can have that. You can find Jesus Christ. He's what you're looking for. He's what your heart longs for, a relationship with him. Zacchaeus was out on a limb. Now let's look what happened there. What happened when he was out on the limb? It says Jesus looked up and saw him. Do you want to be seen by Jesus? I sure do. He likes to look on limbs, it looks like. He's looking for us out on a limb. That's where he'll see you, out on the limb. When Jesus came to the place, it says, when he came to the place, what place? Where Jesus stood. That's the place he wanted to be. Zac wanted to be right there where Jesus stood. So he climbed up the tree. He wanted to see Jesus. And it meant for him that he had to go out on the limb in order to be where Jesus was and in order to see Jesus. Did you notice what Jesus said to Zac? He calls him by his name. He looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus." Isn't that interesting? I'm sure Zacchaeus had been called a lot of names, but probably not by his true name, Zacchaeus, too often. He's known by his name. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 says, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." He knows your name, and he knows everything about you. Yeah, Zacchaeus. So you are known by your name. You're not alone. Zacchaeus was known by God. And Jesus says to him something very strange. He doesn't say, "May I stay at your house?" He doesn't say, "I'd like to stay at your house." He doesn't say, "I will stay at your house." He says what? I must stay at your house. It's not an option. Now I want you to notice something. Jesus looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house." What would we have thought that he should have said to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, you dirty, rotten sinner. I'm sure that's what a lot of people would think. Why is Jesus not condemning this man? He's the greatest sinner in the whole city. And instead he's saying, I must stay at your house. He doesn't call him a dirty, rotten sinner. No, not at all. John 3:16, we all know. John 3:17, we don't know quite as well, do we? It says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. Jesus didn't come here to condemn people, but he came here to seek to save the lost, that they might have life through him. Jesus literally wants to come into his situation and into his life, and it's no different then than it is today. He wants to come into the Zacchaeuses of this world and come into their circumstances and into their lives and literally radically change them. That's what he wants to do. Why does Jesus want to come into Zacchaeus' life? Because he sees faith in Zacchaeus. Hebrews 11:6 says that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Zacchaeus was diligently seeking God. He was out on a limb looking for Jesus. The key point here is faith moves Jesus to be personally present in our circumstances. Personally present, because he says, I must stay at your house. And that word stay in the Hebrew is meno. And it means this, to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain. Jesus didn't just expect to just kind of cruise on in and go here and go there. He's expecting that I'm going to come to your house and my presence is going to have such an impact on your household and your life that it's going to stay there and remain there with you after I leave. Yeah, Jesus didn't just come for dinner, that's for sure. Verse 6, and so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Now, who are they? Who are they? Oh, they're the people that were standing all over the ground. They're all the groundsmen, groundswomen. That's who they are. They are all jealous, aren't they? They're all the self-righteous. They're all the ones that didn't climb up in the tree. They didn't go out on a limb. That's who they are. Everyone that didn't go out on a limb, everyone that was on the ground that wasn't up in the tree, they're all jealous. They all complain. And what did they complain about? That Jesus was going to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Who was a sinner? Now, why did Jesus go to see Zacchaeus that day? I believe it was because he saw faith in his heart. He looked up and saw that man, and he saw faith in his heart. The key point here is faith levels the playing field. And that's what the self-righteous people of the world don't understand. Faith literally levels the whole playing field over the whole human race. It's awesome. The writer to the book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him, in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, faith leveled the playing field. These people that are all part of this hall of faith, many of them did terrible unrighteous deeds, but they're listed there as men and women of righteousness. What? The righteousness that is by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? We are all made righteous by faith. So what does Jesus do at Zach's house? He eats with him, doesn't he? He talks with him. He fellowships with him. And he changed him. And Jesus becomes his friend that day. When he came to be with Zacchaeus, he became Zacchaeus' friend. Isn't that an awesome thing? Jesus wants to be your friend. He doesn't just want to be some God way up there. He wants to be intimately acquainted with you. He wants to be your friend. One of my favorite hymns is, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's written by Joseph Scriven. And the third verse is particularly wonderful. Sing it with me if you know it. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you have trials, tribulations? I know I sure have them. Jesus is your best friend. He wants to be your friend. He was Zacchaeus' friend. Now let's look what happens next. Verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Whoa. Notice something. He speaks this to the Lord directly, but the people are there. They're listening. But he's saying this to the Lord. He's not wanting to boast to anybody. This is a genuine act of worship. I give half of my goods to the poor, and I'm going to restore fourfold from all those that I've cheated. And the list is long. He's the chief tax collector. And they were known for cheating people. I want you to know something. Zacchaeus does far more than what's expected of him. Far more. In Numbers chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, it says this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, when a man or woman commits any sin, that men commit an unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. Leviticus 6, 1 through 6 says this as well. Zacchaeus was Jewish. He knew the law. He knew the requirements of the law. It was to give what I've stolen plus 20%. But Zacchaeus went far beyond that. He gives 300% of the initial amount to anyone I've wronged. He said, I'll give that much. And he's already given half of what he has to the poor. It's interesting to me because so many people struggle in so many areas of giving to the Lord. It's sad, really. God expects, does he expect, Steve, a full tithe, 10%? Do I have to tithe on my net or my gross? And we conceive ways to cheat God. Zacchaeus, he outgives the law. He says, 10%, I'm going to give you so much. Why? Because he has a heart that is so changed. And here the key point is, when faith leaps in the heart of a child of God, he wants to pour out what he has to the Lord. This was faith leaping forth in his heart. And he says, I want to just pour out everything I have to you, Jesus. Zacchaeus goes out on a limb here. Realize what he's doing here. This man's rich. He's got a lot. He's already taken half of it, given it away. He says, I'm going to give away half to the poor. Then the other half that I have, anyone I've cheated, I'm going to give them four times that amount. And guess what? All the people are standing there listening to this. And they've got an account of his cheating them. He's really out on a limb. It's their time to get even, isn't it? I wonder if Zacchaeus understood the value of money. I wonder if he really understood what this was all worth. Perhaps he understood the value of money more than we do. Perhaps he sees something we don't see, because I believe Zacchaeus is here exchanging his riches that are temporal, the things he can see, for riches in heaven that he can't see. He says, I'm going to exchange my temporal riches for eternal riches. You see, when you go out on a limb, you get to see Jesus from a whole different perspective than all the people on the ground. Oh yeah, Zacchaeus had a life that changed. And the life that changed was the day he went on a limb and looked for Jesus. And the key point here is, Jesus sees you not as you are, but as who you can become. Jesus sees you not as you are, but he sees you as who you can become. When Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus, he saw him as who he was going to become. He didn't see him as a dirty, rotten sinner, tax collector, thief. He saw him as a child of God. Everyone else looked at Zacchaeus, and what did they see? Mean, little, swindling sinner. Jesus looks up and says, I'm going to make that man short and sweet. He's going to be a whole different Zacchaeus. You know what the name Zacchaeus means? It means pure. Purity. Pure. Jesus didn't see a crooked tax collector. Jesus saw a man who he was going to change, and he was going to become pure. And he called him by his name. He looked up and he said, Purity, I must come to your house. Isn't that amazing? He saw a man who could be so generous that he would give half of his money away. Now let's look closely at what Jesus said in verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Whoa! Jesus says that Zacchaeus is saved. This is huge. He doesn't say this to many people. His generosity impresses Jesus so much. How could Jesus say this? How could Jesus make this statement? Okay, just because you give all this stuff, you're saved? Certainly you can't buy your way into the kingdom. What was Jesus getting at? What did he see happen here? I'll tell you what he saw. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. And he's, all of a sudden, he sees Zacchaeus. You were serving mammon, and now you're serving God. He said, you are truly saved. Something's happened. You've been born again. You're no longer serving the money of this world as your master. You're serving the King of Heaven as your master, the God of all mankind. Jesus came to save us from serving money. Yeah. Yeah. He not only came to save us and die from our sins, he came to save us from serving the master of money, of mammon. Now, I want you to notice some things in our lesson today. Only Zacchaeus went out on a limb. He's the only one that went out on a limb. Only Zacchaeus was changed that day. In fact, that's the only miracle that Jesus did that entire day that we know of. He's the only one that was changed, but he's the one that went on a limb. Had Zacchaeus been unwilling to go out on a limb that day, no miracle would have happened. It was only because he was willing to go on a limb. You see, it's out on the limb of the tree that the fruit grows. Yeah, that's where fruit is. It's out on the limb. Jesus said this in John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. How do we bear fruit to the glory of God? How are you going to bear fruit to the glory of God? You've got to go out on a limb. If you want to live a life on the ground, you're not going to bear fruit to the glory of God. We're only going to bear fruit to the glory of God as we climb the tree and go out on the limb. Then we bear fruit. Amen? So because we've been changed, we want to go out on a limb for Jesus. Why? Because we've been changed. Now we want to go out on a limb too. I like the picture of a kitten who is looking in a mirror and sees a lion. You need to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Sure. You think, well, you know, I'm a sinner and I don't measure up to God's standard. So you don't see yourself as complete yet, do you? But Jesus has come to seek and to save you, to give you the courage to go out on a limb for his glory. And so when God looks at you today, he sees in you what you can become, what you can become, what he's destined for you. No matter what mistakes you've made in the past, God sees in you the potential of becoming one of his children. So if you feel like you are out on a limb, hang in there. If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, hang on, because Jesus will rescue. And you're going to sit secure in the tree as you're watching for Jesus to just do a miracle in your life. And then Jesus will change you into the lion that he has destined you to become. And nothing will stop you from reaching new and exciting heights for his glory. And then you'll learn the secret of resting secure in Jesus, even when you're out on a limb. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us to grow in faith. Lord, that's our challenge today, to be people that would be like Zacchaeus, to be willing to go out on a limb for you and see you in new and exciting ways and see you change our lives. Lord, let us push past the obstacles that keep us from loving you fully. Whatever it is, Lord, that's keeping us from loving you fully and devoted wholly to you, Lord, let us push past those obstacles. Lord, that we might have eyes to see you ever present in our circumstances, Lord. Give us those eyes and give us the kind of faith that holds nothing back from you. The kind of faith that Zacchaeus had, Lord, that says, Lord, I give you all that I am, all that I have. Because, Lord, we want to bear fruit for your glory. Lord, we want to step out on a limb for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.